o'clock is a meeting about the length of meetings. I thought it would be good form to start on time and probably to end on time and to start the regular meeting on time, just as an editorial comment.
Motion to adjourn.
So I'll I think the agenda is fairly self-explanatory, and I'll just comment that Columbia's always had a history of engaged citizens testifying. It's always been the case. I was not highly engaged at the time, but I know the three-minute rule didn't used to exist, and I think came about in the 80s, perhaps. Does anybody know?
Yeah, there was a history of...
There were speakers who would filibuster.
There was a history of before the three-minute rule. This was instituted with Paul Elbert, actually.
Right, right.
The three-minute rule. Because before that, I mean, there were some city council meetings, unusually, that would run to 6 o'clock in the morning with some of the previous mayors and so on and so forth, whatever the business was at hand. And then the three-minute rule came into effect, and then we usually cut meetings off at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
I see the staff's reaction to that, Carl.
Yeah, fair well, enough. I mean, that's the way it was. I mean, in the history
of this. Right?
You know, I think, before I turn it over to you, I think what we understand that this is a very passionate community. It's a highly engaged community. And when we have issues that come up that involve constituency groups who are directly affected, we obviously expect a lively discussion. And, you know, whether it was the Providence Road project, whether it was, and again, something as passionate as Rockbridge State Park, you know that's going to evoke a lot of passion. And we've had a series of these things come up, and we can talk about some of them. Some of them we can anticipate, some of them kind of surprises. So I'm just going to go ahead and start off with my take on it and turn it over to everybody else. My take on it is that it is a democracy, and people have a right to speak. I think we have a right to ask them to step down after 3 minutes, because I think most positions can be articulated in 3 minutes. You know, if they need more time, they can schedule the scheduled public comment. They get 5 minutes, and if they need more time than that, they certainly are welcome to call any of the members of the council, have a meeting with any of the members of the council. They're certainly welcome to send emails. We get a lot of emails, and I think a way to articulate a very complicated position best, I think, is through email, because it allows interchange and it gives us an opportunity to think about it. So I view the 302 meeting as an outlier, because it involved Rockbridge State Park. It also involved a lively discussion that about natural gas, which is arguable. In my opinion, the argument was probably, in my opinion, not quite on center, but that's, you know, it is a democracy. So very briefly, what I would say from my perspective, I've got the gavel, and I intend to be a little more assertive at the 3 minutes and to create that expectation at the start of a meeting that we're going to limit a testimony to 3 minutes. I'm also going to try to do a better job with the gavel. I know this is not really a gavel issue, but Darwin Hyman did a good job, I thought, although I didn't.
Well, we went to some long meetings.
But I think it's when there is repetitive testimony, I think people want an opportunity to speak. And so if there's something passionate about, like, Rybridge State Park, they really want to speak. They live next to the park. They want to speak. If they grew up next to the park, they really want to speak. Yet we know that repetitive testimony is not helpful. It doesn't really help the case. And so I think I need and will ask people to avoid repetitive testimony, but I won't prevent it. You know, I'm just going to, it's more of a pleading than anything else. And I think that's the way I intend to do it from my perspective. Because I think that it's the public testimony which is making the meetings last longer, and I think it's the public's right to talk. And we'll try to channel it to a more direct, more concise presentation from the public. And I think by creating that expectation, we can get a better reaction from the public. So I'll turn it over to Carl.
Yeah, I appreciate the mayor's perspective, and I agree with him absolutely that it does depend to some degree on the gavel and how we perceive these things. On the other hand, there's always on the other hand here. Now, I'm inclined to feel for the folks. We're only talking about 3 minutes here, sometimes 5 minutes, depending on whether they have a perspective or not. They also wait 2 to 3 hours. We do, too. I mean, we wait sometimes more than 2 or 3 hours. But they also wait 2 to 3 hours to have their 2 to 3 minutes. And I agree with you that, you know, it would be nice to be able to somehow filter out this repetitive stuff, because but on the other hand, the repetitive stuff serves a purpose. That is, it's a number. It's the amount of people that have an on the other hand, and there are a lot of on the other hands here that feel that they ought to get their 3 minutes. And I would want to restrict any of these 3 minute. Public comments, or even the 5 minute public comments, as far as I've got two suggestions. I think we ought to, on the one hand, we can anticipate some of these controversial topics, and we ought to have them probably on the alternate Mondays. We ought not have more than 2 controversial topics on any given agenda. The one that went to 3 o'clock in the morning had 3. We had lots of stuff to talk about. I think some of these can be anticipated. Some of them can't be anticipated. We really don't know. I also think we had to have a red, yellow, and green light on that dais. And it ought to be for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, if you will, if it's a group or something. But we ought to have a 3 or 5 minute green, yellow, and red light on that dais, just like the government does in the national government does. And that doesn't have to be incumbent on you to make a decision as to whether or not people are repeating themselves or not. They have 3 minutes, they have 3 minutes, period. It's over. I mean, if they can't do it in 3 minutes, they can't do it. But we need to do that. I would favor that rather than some of the suggestions that were on the agenda. I have no objection to people signing up. I don't see that as a problem necessarily, if that's what we need to do. But I would be really not in favor of reducing or somehow limiting public comment for people who waited here for a couple of hours to say something. I think it's incumbent on us to schedule these things so that people don't have to talk to these issues at midnight. That's just the way I see it.
So in the past, when we anticipated there would be a lot of public comment on an issue, we managed the agenda and put 1 or 2 items on a different day, whether it's the following Monday or even the next, the Tuesday after the Monday, then.
Well, the Planning and Zoning Commission even deals with this in terms of complex issues and less complex issues.
Right.
I mean, I think there's some decision-making process.
But we haven't done that too much. And we can do that for adjusting the agenda. In terms of the 3 minutes and repetitiveness, I think – if you encourage, and you have been doing this, Mayor, people to stand in support if they basically have the same statement as someone else, and you could even say that at the beginning of the meeting every time. But on the other hand, you know, some people have essentially the same point, but they make it in a unique and powerful way, and it's really helpful to hear it, or in a personal way, you know, because they are closer to the situation. I would be in favor of more managing the agenda so we can usually get out at 11, and then, you know, just doing those other things to keep the meeting concise. And then on the other hand, to expand the meeting, a related issue is I'd like to discuss, whether it's today or another time, council discussion, because right now I think we don't have council discussion on an issue by and large. We have a unilateral statement of position without really any discussion. So if I say something, then Ian says something, and I have additional information he should know about, I don't get the opportunity usually to add that. So that's a different, hopefully it won't add much to the dialogue.
I had thought, and I don't know where I heard this, that that if you made a statement and then Ian followed you, that it was always appropriate for you to come back with a rebuttal at least once, that people had an opportunity to speak at least
I think
twice.
The charter says that once you've spoken, you can't speak again until everyone else
has
spoken.
Unfortunately, we don't pay attention to the Roberts rules. So the city council is exempt from Roberts rule. There are some commissions, boards and commissions, that are in their rules and procedures that they pay attention to Roberts rules. We kind of defer to the city attorney, and we really don't have that. But that's not to say that you can't set the rules.
I think we've had very civil interactions,
absolutely.
And I think that most of contention. I mean, if there's a position that I disagree with Carl, he knows I disagree with him, and he knows what my position is. And
we have some issues, that's the recognition, but nonetheless.
Yeah,
but
we don't want to belabor.
And so I'm not going to convince you, and you're not going to convince me. So I'll make my position, you're going to make yours. I want to go back to the 3 and 5 minute deal. I have to say that occasionally with the 5 minute part, when you have a party that's involved, whether it's a chair of a neighborhood association or an attorney representing a developer, if it's a complex issue, sometimes they can't state their position in 5 minutes. And I, whether it's either side of it, I will sometimes allow them to go on as long as they're presenting something. One thing that we haven't done a lot, and I know that you guys have seen me, have discouraged council from interacting with people who testify. And I know probably some of you disagree with that. But I think if you allow a cross-examination or all of us to deal, then their 3 minutes goes on and on.
Been very good about not letting speakers rope us into a debate or engagement. And I think that's a wise idea. The meeting is long enough. Plus, it's dangerous to get into a Socratic argument.
I guess if they ask a question of staff, I kind of consider that part of the 3 minutes.
Yeah.
They come in and say, what's the ordinance say? Because that's something they could have sent an email to their council member. They could have sent it to me, and they could have managed that with an email. So I think we've successfully avoided debates between speakers.
I just think that we could eliminate a lot of this issue. There are lots of issues that can be anticipated that are controversial. Everybody knows what they are. I mean, we know what they are, and the staff knows what they are. And I think, and I understand this is extra staff time and so on, and it's cumbersome. But you know, we can't have more than two controversial issues on any given agenda. If we have any more than two, and we had three on that one meeting that was, you know, that went crazy, that can be provided for by another meeting on perhaps an alternate Monday or something. We did that when it came to considering these were issues downtown for the economic environment thing for downtown. It was EZ, I think, it was one of those meetings that was separate, and that was very useful. I think we can anticipate some of these things, now perhaps not all of them, but some of them, and things are getting very, very busy, to our credit, to everybody's credit, because things are better than they were before. But nonetheless, we need to divide some of this stuff up to relatively controversial issues that everybody can identify to have a dedicated meeting so that we can pay some attention to them.
There's one other issue I want to bring up, and we haven't really had this pop up in the last couple of years. But occasionally, you know, it's been a while since this has happened, where an amendment, a complex amendment is proposed. Okay. And if Ian is going to propose a complex amendment to one of the ordinances here, I think it would be best if he communicated by email or at least had a written copy of the proposed amendment so that we could study it in advance so that, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job of this over the last two or three years, but just as something to warn us about, because if we look confused, it doesn't make us look good. So
I think that as much as possible, that's absolutely a good idea. I mean, and we sent it to the city
okay. And if you do have a complex amendment like that, it's helpful to let staff know so legal can work with that council person for the appropriate language in the ordinance, because I know on that one that was by Rock Ridge State Park that got complicated, and that would help that situation.
And yet one other, on the other hand, there are those things when you start to study for these meetings that come up just as you study for them, you know, and then all of a sudden there is some issue that you discover.
If I could add one more thing, because we are a growing city and there may be more and more issues that we have to deal with and items, not necessarily all big issues, it may be that just every now and then we need to add in a third Monday meeting to spread out the agenda, or when there's a really busy month that lots of things have to be approved, a lot of them staff initiated, we just manage the agenda so we have three meetings instead of two meetings, and we all get to bed before 3 a.m.
Sorry, can I interrupt? Nancy wanted me to point out on the email thing also, we have to keep in mind the Sunshine Law.
Yeah.
Yes. So we assume that everything that we email each other.
You cannot email each other.
No, and we can't respond to each other.
Like you cannot have a conversation via email.
That's right.
Because that constitutes.
Well, can I write an email to staff that I intend to make this amendment?
Staff will send it out to everybody. You're fine to correspond with staff so that we can be prepared when it comes to having that discussion amongst council is where the Sunshine Law implications.
So if I'm going to propose an amendment, can I send it to CMO at GoClemmieMo? Will they distribute it to the council?
As I understand it, you have to send it to the city clerk. She can distribute it to everybody else, including the staff.
I'm technically supposed to be copied on emails that go to the quorum of the council.
Well, if we send it to staff and then it turns out to be a violation of the Sunshine Law, then they don't.
Well,
it's
not a violation if you send it to the city clerk and she distributes it.
Right. That was the point I was
making. Is that true?
Yes.
I think the day of the meeting, we could come up with a process or procedure where the day of the meeting, the city clerk would distribute all of those proposed amendments that might be coming out at the council meeting as a heads up. That's a public correspondence as well, but then you're not engaged in the back and forth at that point in time. But if you give those to the clerk to assimilate, then she could distribute those without it being a violation of the Sunshine Law.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's self-defeating if you gave it to us at the meeting.
so that we could prepare for it. So were you saying to distribute it in advance of the meeting?
Distribute in advance of the meeting, but if you could get it to staff so that we could at least make sure the drafting is in a clear and concise manner and would is not in conflict with anything else, then at least we've got one of those hurdles performed in advance of the meeting.
And it's publicly available because it's out there.
It's publicly available. But you just can't engage in that discussion as a council on those proposed amendments until you get to the meeting.
But I could call up Barbara Hoppe and ask her what she thought.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, individually.
You cannot poll the council
in
its entirety.
But you can call her.
Contact an individual member, but you can't contact all the members individually.
Unfortunately, the Sunshine Law makes it very difficult for the group who must communicate to communicate. We're very cognizant of that, and so we do want to try to help you communicate with each other, but in a way that isn't just a blatant sort of violation of law. I don't believe, in my opinion, the law is caught up with technology. It was created way before email, and I don't think it's dealt very well with email. It's my personal opinion. That's one example, but what about texting? What about instant messaging, group chat, Facebook?
None
of that's contemplated or understood by the law. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, the law was written at a time when they were very, very concerned with chat rooms. I would say 50% of the body of the law, or the words in the law, relate to chat rooms, which, isn't really a way that people communicate.
Are there any left?
I understand the spirit of the law has to do with four members getting together behind the scenes to talk about stuff without public input. That's reasonable. I mean, that's not unreasonable thing. We are left with coalitions or whatever, if we can contact each other and contact something less than the quorum to talk about issues, I think we can do that, or individuals and so on. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think there needs to be some issues.
If I may seize the floor, since I haven't spoken yet, I think what makes a lot of sense is just to start with what the mayor's proposed is enforce the rules more firmly and then come back if this doesn't solve the problem. We are a growing city, and there is going to be a time when it's just too big that we really can't allow any member of the public to speak. This rule wouldn't be workable in a city like Chicago or something. So while it's a good idea to allow anyone to speak on any issue, there's going to be a time when we simply can't do it for logistical reasons. So we're going to have to realize that. We might rethink the 3 and 5 minutes. I'm not in favor of limiting the meetings. One of the problems that the Bicycle and Pedestrian Commission had, and I assume the others have, is they have in their head there's a fixed meeting length, and if they have more business to transact than that, it simply doesn't get done, which is a problem for council and for other boards and commissions when they're waiting on input. But if it were that we would go to a third meeting, now maybe the charter doesn't allow a third meeting, because aren't the meetings specified by charter? But we can presumably call additional meetings as...
It's minimum once a month, but we can do more.
Oh, is that what it
says? It's by what we decide.
Sounds like somebody's read the charter recently.
Scanned it.
The thing I think we're going to have to come to terms with the elephant in the room is it's the same three or four people who get up and talk on every issue, if somebody gets up and talks on 10 issues and they insist on using their 3 minutes, that's 30 minutes for that one person. And we can all name, and it's a matter of public record, who those people are. And certain people who speak regularly are the most flagrant violators of the 3-minute rule. People like John Clark or Monta Welch will argue Bob down and refuse to stop speaking even when he says your time is up. And I think that's... they should know better because they come here every time. And I think we're going to have to do something about this if we, you know, if we're going to get at the root of this problem.
Well, I submit we ought to have a light timer on there, mm-hmm. and that's the end of it. There ought not you know, no offense, but there ought, the discretion of the mayor notwithstanding, there ought to be, if we're talking about 3 minutes, we ought to have 3 minutes. And there ought to be a 15-minute warning period, and there ought to be the end of it. I mean, it ought not to continue.
The end of it, because what it's not fair to, you know, we volunteered to get into this. So if we have to meet till 2 a.m. or have a third meeting, I would argue that I would submit that that's something we signed up for. What it's really unfair for is the people who come for the second issue, and everybody has been told they've used their 3 minutes and to wrap, and they wrap with another paragraph. That's just not fair to the people who have to wait till 1 in the morning to speak on their issue.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing is those people should know because they come here all the time. I would say what
but they should know, but they take
it.
Advantage of knowing.
The other thing I think can make clear to the public is when people have 3 minutes, they don't need to use 3 minutes. The most effective speeches are often a minute or less. Jennifer Bukowski's come here a couple of times and made 30-second presentations that stick with me. And a lot of people come and make a talk for 3 minutes, and they were done after a minute. And Bob's giving me that look like I was done a minute after a minute.
There's my 3.
He's practicing.
But those were really all of my points. So I don't know if we can add something to, you have 3 minutes, but you don't have to use 3 minutes, if we could emphasize that that's not necessary.
Another point that might be not helpful to ask the public, because I think people are more likely to do what we want if we ask them what that is asking people to queue up. You know, I notice sometimes people like to be the last speaker, so they kind of wait, and then there's the long, dramatic walk up from the back of the room to the mic, you know? I mean, if people know that they're going to talk, if they could kind of queue up at the front, and I don't know how much of that adds up, 10 seconds, 100 times, I don't know if that's worth mentioning.
I want to bring up one other situation, which doesn't come up that much, but it has come up a handful of times. There's occasionally a kind of a unique situation where in the presence of a staff report, a consultant starts speaking, makes a presentation, mm-hmm. and you know, they come from, I don't know, St. Louis, and we really, you know, at 12:15 don't need to hear 30 minutes. So I think when this is something that staff needs to be aware of, when there is a secondary staff level presentation, I think staff needs to create an expectation with those speakers as to how much time they have. I mean, I can do that. I always hate to do that when it's a consultant who's driven here to make a presentation, because sometimes it's appropriate for them to make a 30-minute presentation, and sometimes it's not. I can go back to a presentation that was made at 1:30 in the morning, the last 25 minutes, about 5 or 6 months ago, some of you may remember, that was informational only. So, not that that is common, but I think staff should be aware of requests, that parts of your staff report that are spun off to secondary staffers or consultants, that we need to create an appropriate expectation for them.
And I think that's you were put in a bad position with some of this. I can remember the compressed natural gas thing when somebody testified as to some information. And it's kind of informational. It is really is part of the staff report, in a sense, because they were advising the staff, and the staff is in essence advising us. But nonetheless, there were a lot of people that were upset that somebody was recognized and so on and so forth. I think it's not reasonable. It ought to be part of the staff presentation, I think.
And controlled by staff.
And controlled by staff. But I think it's not unreasonable to suggest that we can ask somebody who's an expert to answer a question. It depends on how long that question gets answered.
Or I can say I'll yield 10 minutes to them.
Right.
I can. Exactly. That's what the big boys do, is to yield a certain amount of time.
Well, I'm going to say With today's technology, there should be a way that we can have some form of countdown timer that faces both the individual who's speaking and then one that the council can see ourselves. And quite frankly, I think that the mayor should not have to be responsible for sitting back here on his phone, timing 3 minutes or 5 minutes for everybody, and that should be done independently by a staff member. And the mayor could see the countdown timer, and if a person goes over their 3 minutes and they've been given one warning that they need to cease in their presentation, there needs to be somebody in the back that can turn off the microphone. Because as long as they have the microphone that they can keep speaking, sometimes it's very difficult sitting back here to stop that individual from continuing to abuse that. And so if the microphone were turned off, then therefore they have no need in talking because nobody can hear.
Or a bad odor at the
That's right, or a trap door, maybe.
Something.
I have no problem. Let me say this. I have no problem being more assertive.
Well.
I have no problem with being more assertive.
We could appoint a sergeant at arms.
Yeah. Sergeant at arms. No, I think that's a good idea. I think it's a great idea to have a, you know, we do that on a national level with timers, with green, yellow, and red. We know what those mean. I mean, that's what we ought to do.
And I think the attorney representing a developer, for example, you know, there are other people who can speak. They don't have to, you know, they can speak for 5 minutes, and they have surrogates that can speak for additional. They can divvy things out and to go by the rules. So there are ways of doing that.
Billable hours, I think they only break down to 15 billable minutes, don't they?
I'm not sure they bill only on the time they speak.
No. There's prep in there.
I think they may bill by the time they walk through the front door.
May I ask a few questions from the staff? So a couple things. One of the things the staff has done to try to help in this regard, we have really standardized kinds of things we talk about is when it's staff comments. So some of you will be aware, I skip, and we go straight to the expert now, and they answer 6 questions in 10 sentences, if at all possible. Some things are too complicated for that, but it's who, what, where, when, how, and how much. And we try to just get that out there unless it's complicated. I'll mention the budget. I've gone on for at least 20 minutes every time that comes up, and I'm probably being kind to say 20 minutes. But so we try to stick to that. And believe it or not, we do spend a lot of time trying to limit controversial topics in council meetings. In fact, we've pushed items off over 2 months sometimes to get to a meeting where there's some. So I will say that we don't always guess right. Natural gas was a surprise to all of us. You know, just that was coming. So we do try that. And anytime, if you get a hint of something, feel free to let us know. We can try to accommodate it. Now, timekeeping, I would certainly offer a staff member. That seems more appropriately kind of my job, maybe the clerk. Not that she doesn't have a ton to do. The mayor has a ton to do anyway. I'm thinking we could have a staff member sit on that side of Sheila, have the dinger or turn off the mic or something like that. But
can we have a thing? I mean, just a light with a red.
Technology would just take the human element out of it.
Technology.
I like Carl's lights. And something flashes with 15 minutes to go, and then when it comes on.
Seconds.
Right on the top.
Please.
And then at the second warning, that's I think that people would be more likely to honor that and Bob would if somebody didn't.
It's a more equitable thing because then it's not a subject to anybody's decision as to how much time you have and, I think that's a good thing.
I mean, isn't that a light there, that red thing? What is that?
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's
it comes on
thing.
But I will say people ignore that as much as any.
Yeah, but that. Big bulbs. We need big bulbs. I mean, this
we get something that they can see more readily.
You know what I can start doing is I can start giving them 15 seconds warning.
Well, we could do that.
Yeah.
We'll try that.
And no rap, because, you know, the idea that once you give them, and we need to actually individually speak to the repeat offenders because they should know.
How much could a 25-watt bulb cost? It's a big bulb on top of the, red, yellow, and green.
And just a little timing circuit.
Yeah, This doesn't seem to be very complicated.
It can't be very.
Let's see how this works tonight. I'm going to tell people that this is a 15-second warning.
But we'll look into trying to relieve the mayor of that duty.
That might help, yeah.
And then on the 3 to 5 minutes, I've been trying to figure out who gets five, under what circumstances, and who gets three. Because what I've just make an observation. 25 people come from an organization. We all claim to speak for the organization, so we all get 5 minutes. Or I have 9 organizations I represent, and I
what is an organization?
Right. And maybe none of them are incorporated, but anyway, why not just everyone gets 3 and get to the point?
I would go with that.
Well, but, you know, when you have a developer come in and talk about it, he can't make that presentation in 3 minutes because we want to know. You know, we're interested in the presentation of one speaker for this deal. I think your point is that I belong to the Shepherd Neighborhood Association. I'm speaking for them, but this is not doesn't affect the Shepherd Neighborhood, so you don't get 5 minutes. You get 3 minutes. I think you have to be, for me, I'm going to use the discretion, so you have to be a principal of this issue.
I don't know if you have to. I mean, we don't have it organized so that we know exactly who's going to do their 3 minutes and 5 minutes. But the principal, whoever the principal is, that wants to present a case, I think, you know, 5 minutes is not unreasonable. Everybody else is 3 minutes, so it's not as if
5 is for the people directly involved. Right.
The guy who wants to present the case. I mean,
I don't think that's a big part of our problem. I don't think that's a big part of a problem. I think the big part of a problem is that we've had an aberration
of
very sensitive issues, 3 of them in one night. And when you see that, it's going to be a long night. You just know it. You do the best you can do.
An actual question then for you. We do have some technology in this iLegislate app where folks can communicate about an issue ahead of time or during the meeting. They can give you written input.
I understand that, and I appreciate all of that, stuff before the meeting and the stuff prior to the meeting. But nothing gets accomplished unless it's in public. I mean, frankly. I mean, that's what people depend on. You know, and come here, that's the big deal. That's always the issue, you know, and it's what we kind of get ready for. Frankly, from a council person's perspective, I like to do things. I don't like to do things behind the scenes, actually. I like to do everything in public. But everything in public is where you really get stuff accomplished. And it's also when the public has the most input. I would feel very bad about giving short shrift to the public. I think we do need some rules, and we do need some guidelines, and we need some lights and all the rest of that stuff. Perhaps we need other meetings for controversial issues. But I would really hesitate to cut back on what is core to this community, that is public input and how we conduct our business. I would hate to do that.
Yeah, I support that. I have not seen this as such a terrible problem. I think it's good that so many people are engaged in our issues, and I do think that we on the council are somewhat responsible because we tend to have a lot of staff questions and have a lot of discussion.
I think, right, we need to be concise and organized and prepared.
I wasn't necessarily saying that. I was saying that,
but see,
that it's not just the public speaking more than previously.
But see, not limiting it also is slightly unfair to the people whose topic is the second or third topic who have to wait till 1 in the morning to speak because people have jobs and you know something's happening in their neighborhood and they didn't, you know, they have a job and they didn't sign up for this, but they have to be here to defend their home or whatever.
This tool is more along that line. It's not to supplant public speech, but to give another way for people who can't get here.
Why don't we figure out what the Tribune does for Trib Talk, and then we could just have that scrolling.
That's the one fear staff has, that it would just be another comment section, you know.
Right. And I would have a hard time keeping up with that, quite frankly, when I'm trying to listen and see somebody scrolling something to me.
And people are pretty good about emailing us, all of the council, in advance if they really have a point they want to make, whether or not they're going to speak. But I do think managing the agenda more might be part of the secret.
I think it's been very helpful to talk about this. I think each of us, I've learned a little bit from ideas that you've given, but we'll see how this works out. And
what I've heard is you really like it the way it is, and maybe look into a better, you know, way to communicate how much time people have, and might still recommend.
I would say really like it. Definitely. Maybe overstating it.
And maybe some way to manage a little bit about some of these how are we identify controversial topics? But we can't have three controversial topics on an agenda. It will go to midnight. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Well, and I'll tell you, when we don't see them coming as a staff, what would you think about tabling an issue to the next one? Or
that's a possibility.
You can do that. The problem, you certainly don't want to table after you've already had the discussion ongoing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You're all in or all out on the tabling, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's really an inconvenience for the public when they all come down here, and at the last minute, they actually get here, and at the meeting, it's decided that they're not going to discuss it. That occasionally will happen for technical reasons, but it's kind of, people have sometimes come here at great inconvenience.
Is that really true, that you had no idea that the CNG thing was going to be very controversial?
Well, we didn't have, so that was discussed at length at four meetings, and we had one of those had an actual item on it. So, things don't necessarily need an item to have. Take fluoride. How many times have you heard from fluoride, right? So these are things, sometimes we know they're coming, sometimes they come in sideways. So, we can't always see them coming, I guess is my point.
Right.
So are you putting in the option of having that third council meeting every now and then for these issues?
We've done that. We've had special meetings. I think that's a viable option.
We haven't had very many.
Done it as much as we have in the past.
If we're doing that, we have to think or talk about with what kind of notice that would be decided, because I can tell you most Monday nights for the rest of this year, that there's not a council meeting schedule. I'm either out of town or I've got something else.
I think we can do better here, we'll see how.
We'll start with that.
Right. And the other thing is, when we talk to constituents,
I didn't think there was anything controversial.
When we talk to constituents about who are very passionate about an issue, let's take the fluoride issue. 2,600 signatures, and you're on the ballot. Right.
I forgot the exact number, but
isn't it 20% of the mayor's vote?
Yeah, I forgot the exact number.
Well, I think it's 26.
I've got it written down upstairs.
Anybody can get any issue before a vote of the public. I think it's 20% of the number of votes in the last mayor's election. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
I'll look it up.
But that's 2,600 and something. And so.
Sure, assuming we're going to pass that along.
That's if you don't think you're getting satisfaction from us, and it's not hard to get 2,600 signatures. Am I right?
20%, yes.
20%, so 2,600 signatures, and you can get it on the next ballot. Mm-hmm. So that's always an avenue open to people.
Sure. And on the flip side, there hasn't been anyone commenting on the county budget for years. I mean, they get nothing, you know. So, I mean, it shows that people care, and they research, and they show up, and they give articulate points, and it's just the cost of living in a democracy. I think Mayor does a nice job. I think staff does a nice job. I think, better, more evenly distributing the meetings out. I know we've done some light ones to accommodate people's travel schedules.
To be honest, we're victims of the success of being reasonably prudent with the budgets and so on. I mean, things are looking up. I mean, the budget is better. The economy is better. There are more applications and so on. So things get busier. I mean,
well, just as a wrap up from the staff point of view, I think we're all proud to be associated with the city government, because people do have access and they can come express an opinion. You wouldn't get very far if you tried to do this at the state or the federal level, right? You're just not allowed to. You know, the answer is we'll call your representative, right? Yeah. So we like working for that's why we're here. So we don't want you to take these suggestions as in any way that we don't want to have public input. That's not the case. There's also a threshold at which point you've got to get the work of the city done. And so we offer these up, having heard them from members and others. So what I'm catching here is maybe focusing in on one of these more than the others and have a couple of other tools in the back pocket, such as the third meeting. Or
okay. Well, since we're finishing a little early, which I think is appropriate for a meeting about how long meetings last, I can't help but say that I'm wondering why Mr. Scala didn't become an economist with his he could have, but he couldn't be a one-armed economist.
There's only so many things I can do here.
On the one hand,
I've been running for office for 9 years here.
The world needs one-armed economists. We'll meet and start at 7 o'clock.
I didn't get it either, but I finally did.